started, but we got a good crowd this afternoon. And if you would like to speak, wait till when it's your turn, and you will get your turn to speak. Now, if you are opposing something, you will have that right. Raise your hand, and we'll bring you up here to the podium. And
I'm working on it.
And you'll have your turn to speak. All righty. Hatch.
Let's pray. Most kind of grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to forgive us when we fall short out, Lord. Lord, we ask you everything we do today to be in the better from our county. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Jody is not here today. He is very sick, so we need to keep him in our prayers. So just want to let y'all know that before we get started.
Right.
I need approval of the minutes of the meeting of April 22nd.
Motion
Mr. Osteen. Second Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
All right, the vouchers.
Motion
Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Any constitutes office here would like to speak? I don't see none. All right. Need to go into public hearing.
Motion
Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second Mr. Wood, all in favor. Aye.
Okay, the first one is a application that was tabled previously, a petition by Bruce Cook and David James requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA zoning district, in accordance with the petition dated 3-8-2024 to be located on the property described as follows, Dixie County parcel number 30-08-14-6889-0000-0180 at 2857 Northeast 709 Avenue, Old Town, Florida. Mr. Jody Stevenson. This was the flooded lot that he couldn't gain access to.
And he was able to get to it and look at it from what I'm understanding.
Is Jody on the phone?
No.
Chairman, I did speak with Commissioner Stevenson yesterday, and he said that he did have the opportunity to go look at that piece of property and that he was okay with passing it, barring any opposition that may be expressed or not.
Do we have any opposition, Leon? Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Petition by Christopher M-A-H-A-N-A-H, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exceptions of Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated 4-19-2024, to be located on the property as described as follows, Dixie County parcel number 24-09-13-00-00-4417-06-00-23-796 Lane, Old Town, Florida, 32-0. This is in Commission District 1, Mr. Jody Stevenson, but I'm asking the board to table this one. There's a problem with access to the property. This was a unrecorded plat that was recently, the lane was cleared. I've got direct knowledge of this because we issued the 911 addressing for that lane. And in the midst of everything happening, one of the property owners quit claim deeded the road and has put a gate up and blocked access in there. So I haven't had time to go down there and explain to everybody that they're saying aloud.
Motion to table.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Hatch, to table. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
An application to amend the official zoning address of the Land Development Regulations an application by Sandcastles Foundation Incorporated to amend the official zoning atlas of the land development regulations by changing the zoning district from RSF MH1 20,000 square foot lot size to RSF MH2 10,000 square foot lot size on the property described as parcel number 09-10-12-2449-00-0-Delta-0050, legal description lot 5 and 6, block D, Botaford Barber Farms, all beginning and lying in the eastern half of the southwest one quarter of section 9, township 10, range 12, east according to the plat thereof, as recorded in plat 1, page 20, public records, Dixie County, Florida. Is 8.37 acres. Address is 511 Southeast 49th Avenue, Cross City, Florida, 32680. The applicant is here, and there is a site plan attached to this as well. Is it a piece of property? Because the zoning changes to high density in the future map, and but currently right now it's at half acres on it, and they want to go to 10,000 square feet instead of 20.
That's 23 houses?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Anybody opposing this? Anyone on the phone? I'm going to make a motion to accept the site plan as is.
Second.
I ain't through yet.
Go ahead.
At 23 homes. I want that on the record. It's 23 homes?
Yes.
No more? Motion to accept it at that.
We got a motion.
Second.
To accept it for 23 homes by Mr. Hatch. Second by Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I need a motion to go back to the board. Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2024-27 for Bruce David James.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
The next one was tabled. Under Resolution 2024-41 to amend the official zoning atlas of land development regulations.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now I have not received any documents.
I will be out of town tomorrow.
Are you talking about the resolution as far as yes? It should be, I did not print it off and bring it, but we can sign it. I'll get it to them.
Okay,
all right, anti-drug. Anybody here? Mr. Steve. Copeland?
He's not here. There's ground pumps is going good. Everything's looking good down there.
Good deal, good deal. All right. Mr. Bailey.
We'll be short tonight. The EOC expansion project is in the bidding process. We did have some questions come up. We've extended that bid to the end of May to make some revisions to the plans based on some of those questions so that everybody's bidding on the same thing. So that new bid receipt date will be May 28th. The Old Town Fire Station construction is ongoing. The library roof, Ms. Chena had sent revised agreements for us to review again. We reviewed those. We don't have any more comments. So from our end, we're ready to proceed forward with that. So that's good. The CDBG application, we're still on track for a July go out to
good deal. Good deal.
So finishing up the environmental review, but it's basically a waiting game whenever you're doing that at the end. Okay. House Chairs Road, we've finished all the review comments with DOT. They don't have any more. They sent it to their administrative staff. We're just waiting for them to say if we can go out and advertise that. We can't do it with the other project as far as combining them, but we can bid them at the same time, and then that should get us a good opportunity to get bids on both of those projects. The other one is the LAP project, which is the paved shoulders and the
restructure. Chafers, okay.
Chafers.
Okay.
We did get, we finally got a review with the sheriff's office on the floor plan for the evidence building, and we're working on revisions to those plans. We are being held up a little bit. Our architect is located in Tallahassee, and that storm that came through the other day has knocked out that whole section of Tallahassee as far as power. So they're trying to get back up and running. So we're going to probably lose 4 or 5 days in getting that moving forward because of that. After our meeting at the after our last meeting, I did meet with the developers that were proposing the water park. Had Commissioner Wood there as well, and Paul. We went over some stuff with them, trying to help them. I did talk to Jeff Hendry and talk to Ms. Diane. I understand they've been in touch with them, trying to help them move ahead. The biggest thing is they need to arrange some private financing, and that's where their biggest hurdle is right now. So and that's all I have. Unless you have something for me.
I just want to thank you for meeting with me and the DOT down there about those bridges on the Virginia Highway. Thank you.
And we'll be getting that estimate pulled together for that one.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Thank you. That. Mr. Lochner.
Good evening, Greg. John couldn't be here tonight. Sorry about that, but he wanted me to come. My name's Gerald Lochner. I'm a project manager with Lochner. So, as you know, it's kind of the rainy season upon us. Just wanted a quick update. The we're continuing to work with the Stormwater Task Force to address the flood mitigation improvements. And, you know, with that said, there is a task force workshop planned for June the 4th, specifically to address the Old Town Hammock Canal and the drainage in that area. So John wanted me to mention that, just to bring that up tonight and let you know. Also, with that said, I also wanted to mention out that we've been working, and we have found a grant to help Leon with the LDRs, and so I just wanted to bring that up tonight. We haven't been able to get up with him yet, but we'll be working with that in the next couple of days, couple of weeks, whenever possible, as soon as possible. So just kind of wanted to give you that information. And if you have any questions, I will do my best. If not, I will find out. So.
I just want you to keep pushing to get my permit for the Cow Creek Bridge boat ride.
Yes, sir.
Thank y'all very much for working on that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Hey, Cindy?
We are all set, ready to go to the suburbs. So, any Wednesday morning that y'all would like to come down and check out what we're doing, 10 o'clock, come on, we'll put you to work. except for the library roof.
And he just said that.
Yes, I heard that.
Okay.
and it's been long enough. We should be ready to go.
Okay.
I know it's a little bit raining inside on the kids.
It's raining too.
Is that it, Miss? Okay. Thank you for everything that you do, Miss Cindy.
We do have a lot of non-English speaking people who are coming in now. A lot. We don't speak Spanish or the other languages, but we are able to communicate. So it's working out well for all of us.
Good deal. Good deal.
They're happy to come in and get the help, and we're happy to be able to help them.
Good deal. Good deal. Thank you, Miss Cindy. Mr. Freeman? You ain't got none?
Yes,
thank you, Mr. Freeman, for everything that you do for us. Mr. Hutch, he ain't here.
That's awesome.
Johnson's not here. Tim's not here. Leon, you got anything else?
So, quick question on the workshop. When was that again?
June 4th.
And is that
going to
be here or is it
going to
be?
The
Stormwater
Task Force,
is
that
what
you're asking about?
Yes.
It will be
out.
Okay.
Ms. Cindy, in the library, we do have a translator that has worked with us at the building department. I'll be happy to send you their phone number. And they normally put it on speakerphone and talk, and they get whatever language barrier.
Thank you. These people know how to use Google Translate. And they come in and just pop in their phones while they want. And I had to call one of them to my computer and look at this. So I typed in what I wanted him to and have it translated. He could read it. And I had somebody else come in yesterday. He's been coming for years. You lived in Mexico for 18 years. I know you know how to speak Spanish.
I just wanted to share that with you.
You.
The other item is concerning the coastal towns. We've been working on trying to navigate through these code changes that have came out. And even today, we spent time on the phone with Jason Shelf's office. And I think we now have their attention to what I was trying to say. And there's going to be a future meeting scheduled for this with some more people involved. Because they understand, and it was very nice to be able to have somebody listen to the grievance and understand what we're trying to articulate. Because this doesn't affect the entire state of Florida, it affects our coastal towns and communities, but it does affect them drastically. And so there is some hope. If you hear, I shared it today on our page, and hopefully we can gain some traction there. We've seen this before in a building code where things have come out and they realized it was not correct and they've fixed it in the past, so I'm hoping they fix this. But if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. It has been busy for us, and I have to go to Hernando County tomorrow because there's a meeting on the same subject that we have to go down there and talk to them about. But I'll be back shortly there after lunch, hopefully. Any other things for me?
Yeah, I've had several calls about that building and stuff down there. And if we can help those citizens.
Well, I think some of the other counties went a different approach. Yeah. And that's not the approach I would have took. But
can we all come together as counties and try to address that?
More than the counties. Just because who wrote this, and we can prove that who wrote it. It had somebody that was higher than the building commission, but had somebody probably at a federal level that had the access to the documents to write the changes. And the and what I was able to show them today was that they wrote into the code direct conflict with the code. Your building code covers new structures, and there's always an existing code book for existing structures. Well, inside the new code book, they wrote about any replacement of appliances and, you know, AC units, so forth, in existing stuff. They wrote it into the new code. So it just goes to point and show to you that whoever wrote all this stuff didn't understand the building code. They didn't understand the different sets of volumes or the different books that were there. But they understood enough about floodplain management. And some of the things that they have wrote into the code is CRS related. And I have some fears about that because it opens up the door for more future restrictions and then higher insurance and flood. And that was part of our argument today on the phone call. So we're going to have some more representation on the phone calls, and hopefully we can get somewhere with this. The building code was never designed to keep you from pursuing your projects, and they have restricted your size of your projects by writing in the new codes. I disagree with it. And you have Taylor County over there, they kind of went a different approach, and that's not the approach I would have took. But yeah, we see that, but I think this approach right here, we can get further with it.
Well, I hope we can change it where we don't go that route. Or that's going to devastate a lot of people.
Well, my goal is always to help everybody where I can, and that wasn't the intent of the building code, and we can prove that. So hopefully we'll get somewhere with it.
Maybe we can get some folks down here on our side and try to help us. Well, thank you for.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Leon. Mr. Scott. Mr. Brown.
silence on the records tonight. Couple of pieces of information. Y'all may have seen one of the new engines at the office with a ratchet straps around it. They were responding to a call the other day, and a deer decided to commit suicide through the radiator of the hood. We're looking at around $17,000 in damage by insurance, but I think they're picking it up Monday. So if it's picking up Monday, going back to Funiac Springs for a new hood, new paint job, new siren, new radiator, new air compressor for the air condition. We don't really know what else after that. So thankfully everybody else is okay. If you see that, that's what the problem is. Station Forbes, maybe mentioned there. Probably looking at digging the footers today, maybe. They had it all dug out with a tractor the other day, filled it back in with soft sand for easy digging, and I haven't been by today or yesterday, I don't think. So that should be coming along. The building's scheduled to be here the 6th of next month, and I think she's hoping to have a slab there so they can erect it as soon as it arrives. If you haven't been by, I'd take a chance to go by there and take a look at it. It's be a pretty nice place when we get done. Tomorrow is our family day. I think I mentioned it last board meeting. We usually have that on Saturday, an all-day event at the river. We reserved the building last year the same day as our event, and they forgot to put it on their calendar. So we went to make reservations and fixed it up the other day, and we had to move it to tomorrow night. So we will be there from 4 to 8 tomorrow night. I can't tell you much else other than we're having Mexican. Come and enjoy. I've seen sombreros, and I don't know what else. I'm afraid to ask. I'm afraid to look. You're all welcome. Please come if you would.
And that's at Camp Anderson, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Camp Anderson. Yes, ma'am. I don't think we'll be allowed in the river, blocked out of the river. Bring your own life jacket if you're going. I'm pretty sure the pools will be open, of course, the pavilions and things of that sort. So you're all welcome with your families, of course. Three things of discussion I need the board's decision on. The first one, we run into an issue the other day. We've been having, with all the calls we've had a lot of requests for stress-related issues through our workers' comp and different things by the staff members. We've been trying to provide that. Some alcohol problems, some divorce problems, different things going on, a lot of it directly related to stress. We have not, for a while, had a chaplain. We had a chaplain team that was here when Mr. Alexander was here, and while I was here, they stayed for a while, and slowly, they, as the pastors changed, they kind of dissipated, and it became difficult and cumbersome. My pastor, Brother Raymond Wilcox, has been stepping in and performing a lot of those duties, and it's gotten to the point where the crews were asking for him to come. Chief Ferguson and my other chiefs and I sat down and talked about it, and we feel like we needed to put somebody on, and we had the budget to put him on as a basically a contract employee, same as our dive team manager, so on and so forth. But during that process, our plan was to allow him access to one of our spare vehicles to visit the stations on a weekly, monthly basis, visit staff in the hospital. One of my staff had his mother in the hospital this week, things of that sort. While we were getting him moved on board, we found out that since he's a temporary employee with the church, he was currently a resident in Georgia, and of course he doesn't know what day he may change residences again, so he has chosen to remain a Georgia resident, which means he has a Georgia driver's license. Our policy calls for a Florida driver's license. Of course, if someone moves to Florida full-time, they're mandated by statute to become a Florida resident and get a license, but in his case, he's not a permanent resident here. Our insurance, we checked with them, both HR and Chief Ferguson, Chief Bass, and they have stated that there's no issue on the insurance side with covering him. But as we were going through that, the county policy states that any employee of the county has to have a Florida driver's license. So given the circumstances of him being a temporary resident, I was wondering if the board would be of interest in deviating from that policy for him, in particular for this current situation. If not, we will have to allow him to drive his own vehicle, pay per diem and everything else every month. It would be a little more complicated. We can make it work either way. We have the vehicles, the insurance covers him, but that is a board decision as it is direct policy.
This is a chaplain for your workers, correct?
For our department, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Like I say, Miss Angie and the others, there were five of them, I believe. They've done it for a good while. Mr. Jarrett, Thomas whenever he was in our fire academy and working for us. He'd done it quite a bit, but he's been busy since he got his new job and has kind of fallen from there. And Brother Raymond has expressed interest. I've had several staff members that have used him privately and talked to him about different issues, and he's been very willing. He was at our push-in ceremony. He came to our honor guard recognition and some promotional stuff. So that's totally a board decision as it is.
I make a motion to deviate from that policy under the circumstances.
So, got a motion. Y'all got all everything what you just said, right?
Can we do that, can we, Sam?
You opening a door. That's all I'm going to say. If you deviate for one, you got to deviate for anyone else who comes forward. But you can do, you can modify, change your policy.
This is for a pastor.
Can the policy be changed just to state a valid license? Yes.
I think that, you know, at any time that we recognize that we have a policy that needs to be revised, I think that we could take that opportunity to draft something and come back to the board for a policy revision. And if this is something that the board would like to entertain, we could always do that at some point.
But and I can address all those issues as far as, you know, whether or not and how that's going to affect us over a longer term.
So you want to?
No.
You want to just do it?
Could I just make a recommendation that instead of using the word deviate, that we call this an exception?
Yeah, I'll do that.
There you go. We got a motion from Mr. Hatch on exception for the chaplain, and a second, Mr. Osteen. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we'll move on to more complicated ones. As y'all are aware, following the hurricane, we were awarded funding to replace the Horseshoe Beach Fire Station. That funding has arrived. It is here. One of my fears is that we are bound by insurance reasons to keep that station within 5 miles of Horseshoe. That goes to the New Beginnings Church. We also had the intent and presented to the state legislature and Senate that the part of the reason for the need of replacement was to move it outside that surge zone so we don't have to evacuate that station every time. This year, with the six or seven foot decrease of surge because of the change of the weather status, the water came to the Willie Lock pump mainline, which means that station needs to be between that mainline and the New Beginnings Church. We have currently checked with every landowner except one, and I don't know if that land's high enough. And so far, we have not had anyone that is interested in selling us 3 to 5 acres of land. The land between the pump mainline and up to where Mr. Sammy Royal's place is owned by an investment company on both sides of the road, timber company. They have previously given some land, I think, and don't hold me to this, but I think for the spill site, our dredge site, and also out around the water plant area. But again, both of those fall still within that surge zone. We are waiting to hear from them officially. We have contacted their timber manager twice. We have sent a certified letter to the company. Or the group. I have spoken with Mr. Jimmy Butler, and he has made personal contact with them and said they were sounded more agreeable, but at this time they have not called and said they would be willing to donate or sell any land there. This project is holding up another fire station that we have funding for, because until we see if we have enough money left over from the land purchase, we can't make a decision on the first district station as to whether to replace the living area or build a new station. Our engineers have told us that with the funding available, we should be able to build 2 new stations and get the land for them, providing the land near Horseshoe doesn't cost us too much. But we can't move until we hear that. So this is more informational. We are still looking at a couple of options. The only piece that we did find, Mr. Sammy Royal did say that he would be interested in obtaining or entertaining an offer on the piece of swamp land that he has, and that would be a drastic amount of money and time to fill that in. This is bound to either 18 or 24 months, so we're going into 3 years on these two stations now, so we're going to be on a very tight time frame, and my hope is that perhaps some of you have some contacts or knowledge of someone there that may be able to help us with a piece of land to keep that inside that 5 miles. Otherwise, we can't put it in town because we're in the surge zone. If we go outside the 5 miles, it starts to decrease insurance rates for those in the community. We don't want to do that. There are a couple of pieces that are 1 or 2 tenths of a mile that I haven't checked on yet because they're outside the 5 miles. I don't think the insurance companies would fuss about 1/10 of a mile at the end of the Horseshoe Road, but again, I don't want to challenge that if I don't have to. So if any of you have any ideas, I'll be happy to entertain a conversation privately or publicly. It doesn't matter to me. But we are getting to a point where we have exhausted our options, and I've been working on this for about 7 or 8 months now with the timber company in particular and the homeowners for the last few weeks. So I just wanted to let you all know that because we're at a point. Mr. Ganey's been involved quite a bit. There is one landowner I've not heard a final answer on, but I don't think he's going to be interested in selling. So I'm just throwing that out for the board so that y'all can think about it and see if we have any other options. I would like to be able to stay in that area where we need to be and make everything work and get a nice station there. And our hopes, if my engineer, if he's still here, doesn't choke me down, is to put a another helipad similar to what we have in Old Town at both stations. I don't know how much additional cost that is. He may keep me. He's rolling his eyes. But that's our hopes. But, again, we need the land to do that. And that particular project is slowing down the other project. So just information.
We got one man on the back row who'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
State your name.
Jim Ward, Brampton. No one likes the eminent domain process, but that is what it's for. And if that timber company property is the ideal stuff, that's one way to go. It's immediate. Just have to deal with it afterwards.
Right? Try to avoid that too, gentlemen.
We are too.
That's a bad word.
That is simply informational for now. If any of you have any ideas or thoughts, please get with us and we'll see what we can do. Mr. Butler also reached out to even some of the other landowners that we had already spoken to, and they again told him we're trying to work through that.
And give us an update on the canal dredging down there in Horseshoe.
Timeline.
I can't answer your question particularly with direct information. I can tell you that money was awarded, that project was turned in, the recommendations for the dollar amounts came through our engineering firm, the county manager's office turned that project in. The last I had discussion on that, the county manager and the engineering company was working on the specifications for the bid. I'm not sure if it's went out for bid yet, but once it is out for bid, then of course it will be your normal probably 30 days. I'm not sure on the bid for that, and then the low bid contractor will be awarded that contract unless the board sees fit to look at someone else. So that's pretty much the status I have, John.
Sure. So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. John Locker with Locker & Associates is in the process of preparing that scope of work and an RFP to be sent out. He is trying to expedite that process, but you know, he has to make sure that the permit process, everything has to be done correctly to go into the RFP. So as soon as he gets that available,
so that's
we'll advertise that, and 30 days later, we'll open bids and proceed.
So that's where we're in the permit process at the
moment. He is in the process of creating the scope of work and the RFP to be able to send out for advertising.
Okay, I got you. And then we advertise it and then get the lowest bidder, and then after that, they can get after it. Okay. We've got one. State your name.
James Nobles. Got a timeline on being able to get that from the engineering group, just the ballpark.
I spoke with him earlier this week, and the only thing he could tell me is he was in the process of creating that RFP.
Okay.
That could be tomorrow. It could be next week. I'm not sure.
Thank you.
One more thing.
Okay.
This one is going to require board action as well, and I'm not certain of the board's decisions or opinions, so it's for the board to make. I've spoken to, I think, all of you individually over the last few weeks. Last year, you know that we well, it's a few years ago, we were awarded the opioid funds through the settlements and lawsuits that occurred throughout the state of Florida. Most counties received those funds. We were one of them. Last year, we received $174,000. The board voted to give us, my department, 50% of that to put towards our community paramedicine program, which is an unfunded program. We have to fund it out of our EMS agency. And they give the other 50% to the Anti-Drug Coalition. It was going to be split three ways with the sheriff's office, but they did not have projects that met the requirements. The requirements are pretty strict. We actually met with the contract group that manages these funds today, because they're on a state budget year, which means July 1st it starts over. So our budget year is running out. New funds are fixing to come available for that, and we have to prepare a budget for that. With the $174,000 that we got last year, that was a larger amount because it was the beginning, the upfront payment. I don't know why they got to that. But it is an 18-year project. Those funds will be coming to the county for 18 years.
Not $174,000.
No, sir. That's where I'm going with this. That amount will be reduced by half this coming year, which is a couple of months from now. And then every year thereafter, and I did not bring the chart, I have it, I'm sorry, but the following year it goes up by about 5,000. It never gets over 90. After about 3 years, it drops back down to the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So we are in a situation where if we maintain the 50-50 split, I will have to find another $40,000, is it, I think, for our community paramedicine program. If the board would prefer to allow me to receive that funding in total, which is what I would like to see, but again, I understand the situations. It would allow us to continue in the community paramedicine program without having to supplement that further from other budget situations. So I'm on a time frame
and
the budget.
And explain that so they would understand that paramedicine.
Our community paramedicine program is a program that Mr. Pendarvis, when he was my EMS chief back in, I think, 17, 18, I'm not sure of the year, come up and brought to me. The community paramedicine is a, in our case, a paramedic. Different departments have different levels of certification for that. But basically that position is a person that assists residents with medical issues or other issues that they may have. A lot of it, for our part, the benefit is that it helps to reduce some of the repeat callers to our agency for transport. As you know, we're 3 hours away with a total turnaround, of course, an hour away from the hospital. It takes us 3 hours to get there and get back. Ms. Allison Stevens has been with us since 2007, I think. She's one of our senior paramedics. We got a three-year grant-funded program through the opioid what it stands for. They funded that position part-time for 1 year, full-time for 2 years. Due to staffing, we couldn't move her to full-time until the third year. She basically spends her days meeting with patients on phone calls with patients. She had in March, she had 30 phone calls and 35 patient visits. She assists patients, elderly patients, young patients, whatever the case may be, with various things that my crews aren't equipped to do, and they don't need to go to a doctor's office to do. If an elderly patient's having trouble with navigating through their medications, she assists them with getting it so that they can take care of it. If they have minor medical issues, she can get on the phone with telemedicine and things of that sort. Contact their doctor, help sort that out. She goes and picks up prescriptions. She has made arrangements to acquire used medical equipment, walkers, wheelchairs, things of that sort that we disperse out to those citizens that are in need. She assists the Anti-Drug Coalition on a regular basis with overdose, opioid abuse, things of that sort. Falls is a big call over by her. She assists with that. We've had requests to go out and put in handrails, different things. She does a lot of referrals for Meridian Healthcare for behavioral issues, things of that sort. A lot of times she's just the person they call to talk to for a little while to try to calm them down and keep them from having to call.
Yeah.
And that is an unfunded project through EMS. It is not considered an emergency situation. Therefore, our agency cannot bill for it. So her salary, benefits, operating supplies, vehicles, vehicle costs, repair and maintenance, equipment, and everything else is funded through my EMS agency. We're already strapped for money. We're trying to expand the services. We have a brand new station coming online. We're trying to open up this year. And we still, I personally still see the benefit to that program, and I wouldn't cut it for anything in the world. But I have no reliable funding source at this time. The grant has expired. This is the next, the state actually gave us $50,000 the year in between. But that was a one-time operation that's gone away. The opioid funding came available last year, which helped us dramatically to maintain that program and saved our butt at the end of the day with the budget. But this year, if that funding is reduced, then of course I will have to look at other avenues. And I understand that the Anti-Drug Coalition needs money as well, but this is a service that affects every citizen within this county that the Board of County Commission is directly responsible for, and I, as your representative, am very much directly responsible for. And I meet with my boss Monday morning at 8:30 to discuss budgets, and I'm sure neither of us will be happy with what we have to talk about. So I don't know the board's decision, but I do need an answer shortly due to the budget here.
And she actually goes and assists the Anti-Drug Coalition. So she benefits a lot of people. And I've got a lot of compliments out of that service and helping our citizens. And
the Department of Health, basically any agency you can think of. A lot of the doctor's offices call her to assist with patients. If they can't get to their office, she may go by and check them. You know, she's still bound by our medical protocols. There's some things the doctor can do that she can't do. She possibly has the training and ability, but our protocol won't allow it. But for the most part, she can assist a lot of folks there. Yes, sir.
Let me say this about this program. It's one of the very best programs out there for our county. It helps the elderly people. Some of them do not have nobody. Yes. They go there and she helps them with medicine. Sometimes she just talks to them.
Yes.
And sometimes they'll call the ambulance and take it out of service to carry them to Gainesville whenever we have an emergency within our county and we have someone riding over there just because they're lonely. So whatever we got to do to keep this program going, we're going to find a way to keep this program going. I'm 100% behind the current medicine, always have been and always will be. So this program is a must for our county. That's just the way I feel about it.
I personally, and I know the Anti-Drug Coalition will not be my friend tomorrow, but I would like to request that the board allow me to keep the 100% this year, which is still the same amount of funding as last year.
You'd be utterly surprised how much they'll be your friend tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Explain to them what this program is. They know what the program is. You'd be surprised.
That's probably a wrong statement on my part. Yes. We try to work hand in hand. We've been on the phone with them today, and everybody works together to get there, and they use Allison as much as anybody else. So
we need some action on this.
What do you want?
A motion on to
let motion me, to do whatever to
I am requesting that the board give me 100% of the funding this year and in the years to come to maintain the community paramedicine program. There are possibilities for future billing for that. The state and federal government are working on, but it could be years down the road, and it still would not be sufficient. As I said, she's seen 65 patients in March, and I need to hire someone else to help her, but I don't have
this. This is what I'd like to do, Darren. I wouldn't do it indefinitely. I'd say for the coming up year, 100%. And if we find a funding source, because we do have other avenues and confidentially that we both know about that we can't speak on right now, but I feel like there's money going to be coming for that. And I don't want to take 100% of the money permanently. But, yes, for this coming up year, I say 100%.
You paid me to ask for all of it, boss, but I understand.
So that's Mr. Hatch's motion there, what he just said, correct?
1 year.
For 1 year.
And we'll address it again next year. When he got the sources in place, we'll do it again. Or somebody will do it again. I might not be here.
So not a motion.
Second.
We got a second. Mr. Wood, any comments? All in favor?
Anything else
with
me, John?
I think we have one young man right here.
I just wanted to, James Nobles again, I just wanted to commend this program. As Allison, I know some personal people that she has helped 100%, and if you guys support this, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. James.
All right, gentlemen, I think that's all that I have. If I forget something, I'll bring it up next week.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
I did have one other thing. Hurricane season starts June 1st.
Yes. Were you going to mention to them about the
pre-hurricane meeting?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. We have a pre-hurricane meeting. What day was it?
31st.
Yes, I'm so sorry. We have our pre-hurricane meeting, our annual meeting, is on the 31st in our office. I will get you the information. I think it's at 11. Lunch will be provided. I am so sorry. I knew there was something else. But, yes, y'all are all invited. I would love for you to be there. We will be going one or two days before that to Tallahassee. It's normally in Thomasville, but it'll be in Tallahassee to get the updated information. They are projecting a busier season this year. So we'll be giving a full detailed report of all of that and moving forward from there. So Chief Garner has sent that out, and he will send it out again. But that is, yes, sir. Thank you, boss.
What time is that?
I think it's at 11.
I know
11 to 1 or something. We're doing lunch through. So.
I know I won't be here, but when I get back, I'll get up with y'all or somebody, and y'all can
catch
me up.
Anything else, gentlemen? Am I forgetting anything else,
Don? Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Kay?
Ross and I have pretty much gotten all the most of the kinks out of getting everything set up online for the short-term registration. We have a couple of other things to work on. This is a brochure that we put together that explains the program, and I have some more out there where the agendas are if anyone wants to take one, and I've got some for you also.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, say one.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. But our first mailing should be going out before hurricane season starts, before June 1st.
Can you mail on these two?
We have 100, first mail is going to be out to 100 people, starting it in the Gina area, because that was our biggest concern, trying to be sure that they get their taxes set up coming to Dixie County, because we've had a problem with a lot of those tax dollars because of the address. They've seen happy the zip code, a lot of those from the Gordon Taylor County. So we're trying to get that corrected first, and we're working our way over.
So anybody that's Airbnb or whatever, the rest of that borough?
Anybody that is publicly advertising.
But they will receive
overnight.
It. Because I know there's a couple in Swanee that's been bugging me about it. I just kind of like,
right.
We're getting it. Okay. So you're telling them to all them, correct?
Mm-hmm. And I'll put something in the paper and, try to, put a lot of information, a lot of the different offices. Including the tax office, but I figure a lot of people end up going there trying to find out about it, so they'll have information.
And Ms. Kay, they can find that information online, correct? And
pardon?
They can find the registration online. They don't have to wait till they get the mail out, correct?
Correct, yes. And that's the, one thing we're waiting on is to have to get with Scott and Darvis to activate the link there.
And I wanted to make sure they understood that they don't have to wait to get the mailing. If they want to be proactive, they can go or reach out even to your office and get signed up and get
correct
registered.
Correct. And then I'm also going to have some, we're going to print out some applications too. So it's not, because there will be some people, even though they're, they've got their locations online, so they're fairly familiar with how to do that. Some people still like to do it by hand and by check and such like that. So we'll have those available too.
What about our incorporated town across city in Horseshoe? How do they fall under this program also?
Yes. Yes, our tourism tax covers all of that.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
I had brought up that about that zip code 32359 before, because a lot of citizens down there were getting their tag notices from
same problem.
Yeah. I bet that was a special event trying to get that thing down.
Right. And in the letter that's going to these people, it will specify that. We also have the problem up near Brantford, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for everything you do. Miss Gail is not here. Miss Holly's not here. Miss Angie, she's not.
Chairman, she had to leave, but she did want me to express her gratitude and thanks for the prayers and the calls and texts to check on her while she was out for her extended period of time.
Okay. All right. Now, Mr. Paul, it's your turn.
Yes, sir. Commissioner, if you will turn to your county manager's report. We'll start off with some requested dates. So, action item number one, we request board approval to hold a tentative budget hearing on September the 5th, 2024 at 5:30 p.m. here at the Board of County Commissioners meeting room.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And number two, sir, we request board approval to change the September 5th, 2024 Board of County Commissioners meeting from the normal 10 a.m. meeting to the 6 p.m. meeting to go along with the tentative budget hearing.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number three, we request board approval to hold a final budget hearing on September the 16th. 2024 at 5:30 p.m. at the Board of County Commissioners meeting room.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number four, we request board approval to change the September 19th, 2024 Board of County Commissioners meeting 6 p.m. from that Thursday to that Monday, September the 16th at 6 p.m. to coincide with the final budget hearing.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry?
Who's going to keep all of us straight and all this? Both of y'all? Somebody better be
sure you call us.
I'm talking about all of them.
Yeah.
We're going to need some group text on that.
Make sure that happens.
So with all that, really the only thing we're doing is changing the time for 2 days.
I don't care.
Not Thursday to Monday.
It's very important that
everybody is here. Yeah.
Okay. So,
hang on, Mr. Paul. Mr. Kay.
Will that be posted on the website?
It'll all be advertised, however, on the first advertised public.
It will be public notice. Go ahead.
Number five, we request board approval to have Lamar Brothers repair approximately 200 foot of pavement on Northeast 300th Street, that's locally known as Shady Oaks Road, in the amount of $19,000.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr.
Let's discuss it.
Mr. Osteen, discussion.
All right. This right here. They're out there doing the new Dollar General Market, and we have put about 25 loads of coal patch right there every time it rains.
Yep.
We have to put coal patch there. I wish we could do the whole road, but that's going to be the worst part of that road right there. $19,000 whenever you got $50,000 worth of coal patch in it right now.
Exactly.
This needs to be fixed.
Yep.
It is.
Yep. So, any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Number six, request board approval for the Title VI correction of the county website address and resolution 2024-29 in support of the Title VI plan, and this is just to correct an error that had the wrong website listed on the document.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number seven, request board approval to execute the Pastoreau & Associates LLC work order number 24-17 for the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System as permit compliance at the airport in the amount of $7,590, and this is to do with the stormwater discharge at the airport.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Number eight is to request board approval to advertise for County Road 349 South paving, CEI services, pending Florida Department of Transportation and attorney approval.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Number nine, request board approval. Request board approval to enter into an interlocal agreement with Levy County for mosquito control pending Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services and attorney approval. And the reason for this, Mr. Chairman, is because of our mosquito control director resigning, we have to have someone in place that can sign off on that program, and Commissioner Hatch has worked with Levy County to coordinate this. We have a meeting with Florida Department of Agriculture on Monday to make sure that we meet all the requirements. So the reason we're asking for this now is so if they give us the go-ahead with this, that we would not have to wait until the next meeting to put it in place. We could put it in place and start
spraying.
Spraying as soon as possible. So all of this is pending the approval of FDAC and attorney review.
Do we have an interlocal agreement with Levy as of yet?
We would have to.
That's what I was asking.
So that's why we have an attorney approval. So you would be involved.
All righty.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Number 10, request board approval to execute the DEP 22-PLN-32 Resilient Vulnerability Assessment Peril of Flood and Adaptation Planning Amendment Number 1 for the purpose of advance pay of the grant. And this is also pending attorney review, and this is to help us get the funding up front and not have to wait for reimbursement on this grant.
Motion,
Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
Aye.
And the last one for action items, and this is a last minute addition that has just been brought up. We request board approval to partner with the town of Cross City for the board to cover the remaining $7,500 paid to retail strategies for economic development and business recruitment. Duke Energy has provided $25,000 in grant funding, which leaves $15,000 left to be paid for that company. And last year, the town of Cross City and the board did partner together to
split
those calls to that company.
Motion.
We got a motion, okay. Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And for informational items, I brought to you, I think it may have been last meeting or the meeting before, with a request from Mr. Todd Beatty to enter into a lease for some property out close to the airport. The board approved for myself and Madam Attorney to enter into negotiations with that individual. We have met twice, and I just wanted to bring back his request and get direction from the board on how you'd like for us to move forward. So I just attached the three items there that he had requested. The first one on page one, we've highlighted where he requests a 1 year to show any progression, because the board did indicate that any leases moving forward, we would have some type of progression in that lease. So he's just requested that 1 year be granted to him to show that. On page two, he is just asking that we keep with the same rate that was for the previous lease to that property of $363.33 a year per acre. It's going to be approximately 6 acres that he will be leasing, so those numbers are there. And on the third page in that highlighted area, he is asking that the board clear trees and vegetation through an easement and a right-of-way into that and for the county to rock that. So I just need direction on from the board on if you are agreeable to this and if you want myself and the attorney to move forward with these requests and draft a lease agreement.
Me personally, was the one that asked about this 1 year thing. I think all of our leases should show that, because we got property tied up now for 5 or 6 years and it's just growing weeds. And so I don't have an issue with none of it, honestly. It ain't nothing, that the money's the same. And the other side, the rock easement and all that, we do that also. It's our property.
And I did.
I don't have an issue.
Kind of a printout there just to highlighted the red area of the property. The old crossing veneer behind the trail riders, and the green part would indicate where the approximate easement line area is.
You need a motion?
No, not an action item at this time. We need to draft them. We
need to make sure that the board was okay with those requests and we can move forward with drafting them.
I'm good.
Bring that back at the meeting.
I'm good.
Isn't there someone else trying to do this?
There was another party that contacted our office and expressed interest in this piece of property, and I did inform them that we were in the middle of negotiations with someone that had previously requested this. And
we left that. Well, don't we have two pieces of property back there?
We do have another piece of property on the other side of the road, directly behind the WBT property. Something they may be interested in, they could come and we'll talk about that.
Well, I might accommodate both of them.
My understanding, I think they both kind of got the same business design in mind. Now, whether that's an issue, I don't know. I mean, it's like anything else. Sometimes a race to the courthouse.
Actually, I gave that piece of property there to... What the hell? You good, Leon? I gave that, David, to someone else, and they're looking at that piece of property currently, too. But like you said, like y'all done with this one right here, because it's kind of weird. I was working with the one you're talking about because he didn't want me tied into this one, so he was working with Jamie, and they have the same business plan. And I didn't know nothing about it. Jamie didn't know nothing about it.
I didn't know nothing about it either.
Property, same business plan.
This come up about Todd. You know, I told Paul, you know, go forward with it, and then I found out there's another one, so I'd like to accommodate both of them, at least the other property to him. I didn't know anything about it.
Both of them apply, though, honestly, because it's the same business plan, same business customers. I thought Todd was the silent partner.
I didn't know. I just thought Todd was the main one on it.
Yeah.
We'll move forward.
Yeah, move forward with it.
Negotiation draft document, and hopefully we can bring it back to you at the next meeting for execution.
Okay.
Next, information item number two, we need to schedule a workshop date and time for the purpose of budgeting and finance discussion, and we would like to do that on Thursday, June the 20th at 3 p.m. prior to the regularly scheduled board meeting. So I would need board action if the board is agreeable to that.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
And then just a reminder, the county offices will be closed on Monday, May the 27th, in observation of Memorial Day. Also, we have one of our long-time employees, Mr. Lorenzo George, that will be retiring at the end of this month, and we will be having a kind of a lunch-type celebration on May the 29th at 2 p.m. out at the county yard, so we would love for the board of commissioners to come join us for that. Also, all commissioners have been signed up for the FACTS conference in Orlando on June the 24th through the 28th, and all of you need to attend the ethics class that will be on Tuesday, June the 25th, starting at 1 o'clock that day. So Ms. Martha will have packets and all available for everyone, and we'll let you know later. Rate.
Okay. Ms. Martha, you done in my office right this time?
I did not, but I will do it.
That's how we talked about that.
But we did talk about it, but I have forgotten.
That's okay.
So I have one more thing that come up this afternoon. We just need to have a discussion and kind of get some direction on how the board may want to proceed with the purchase of a compactor from Mr. Bills. I know that all of you have probably had some discussion with him concerning that. I think Mr. Johnson has had a discussion with him, and I wish he was here, but he's not tonight. So
I know Mr. Johnson's told me he's went out there. I've looked at the trailer, and the trailer's in good shape. I have not seen the compactor, but Mr. Johnson says that he's went out and looked at it, and it's in very, very good shape.
So I know that some of the commissioners have expressed, you know, wanting to have someone go check it out, look at it, test it. The only thing is that, you know, it's not hooked up to power, and it would be hard for them to test it out for the not. So Mr. Mills did express that, you know, he stands behind his stuff, and if there was ever an issue, that he would take care of it.
You're not going to beat the deal, and honestly, Mr. Randy can probably tell you, you take a welder and run a three-phase motor, hydraulic motor, if you wanted to run it, really and truly. So there's ways to do it portable right there, but I do know that he does stand behind his stuff, and
yeah.
I don't have an issue with it, but I want to get the compactor.
Good with it, especially if it's just Mr. Johnson's good with it.
Yep.
Need some motion?
Him on the phone?
I do.
We need some motion.
Motion to buy.
We got a motion from Mr. Hatch to buy and a second Mr. Wood. Any discussion? That's just the compactor, or is that the compactor and the trailer?
We can't afford all and everything.
Okay. Just the compactor, okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Chairman, that's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Paul. Ms. Chana, you got anything?
I do have a couple things. I'm going to do mine a little bit backwards because I forget to tell y'all. I am going to operate under some summer hours at my office. We're going to officially be closed on Friday. That does not mean I will not probably be there or that I won't accept calls or anything if y'all need it. But as most of y'all know, I have quite a few little people that depend on me for entertainment. So I'm going to try to take some time off and entertain those little people and enjoy a few minutes of peace. Well, never peace. That being said, that's my side of things. Now the stuff that I need to make the county aware of, the mediation I've been telling y'all was forthcoming is imminent. This is on the Neesmith versus Dixie County case. We have had the attorney that's hired by the insurance reach out. They have had an offer to settle that they're interested in negotiating on, but they're wanting direction from the board whether or not y'all wish them to reach a settlement for the amount. They anticipating the amount will be somewhere probably between 150 and what the plaintiff requested was 175. So somewhere in that area is where they anticipate possibly reaching a settlement agreement, which would stop the mediation. They have a motion filed to dismiss the case. That being said, they've also agreed to allow the plaintiff to amend the petition. So sometimes one attorney doesn't understand why another attorney does things the way they do. But basically what that means is if they made the motion to dismiss, even if the judge granted it, they've agreed to let the plaintiff refile and amend the motion. So pretty much the motion to dismiss is a moot issue from a layman's standpoint as far as it's procedural. We are moving forward. We are sovereign as a state. Our cap is $200,000, so it is under our cap, but that is what y'all are looking at, gentlemen. So they have asked me to get with them and let them know whether or not it is the board's desire that they attempt to resolve this through a settlement offer. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. This is one where there is quite a bit of comparative negligence, I guess. I don't do that type of law, but That being said, there's quite a bit of negligence on the part of the plaintiff also.
All of it,
100%.
This is the ambulance case, the night of the fog that was so bad, and we had the driver facing south in the northbound lane out of his vehicle. Our ambulance saw, attempted to avoid a head-on collision and not roll that ambulance in the ditch there on the Suwannee Highway. And the driver, the mirrors on the vehicle kind of hit, and there was a little bit of an impact, I think, on the door hitting the doors type thing, or the door, and anyway, the door of the pickup being hit. It is believed that the plaintiff was possibly standing between the door of his truck, maybe taking a nature call. And so the door is what actually struck the individual, we believe. Now, I'm reading this off of what I've been provided. So that's the reason I say there's some comparative negligence on the part of the plaintiff. But, of course, we are a county, and we are in a lawsuit.
I can't see how we're liable when someone's parked in the ambulance's lane, and I'm the vehicle, and the way I read this was impaired. How can we be liable?
I can get on a soapbox on this one and preach for days on this, because literally this county has settled a lawsuit one time in Sherrod Island where David, I'm just using David as an example, brought his dog to Sherrod Island and got in a fight with Paul's dog. David's dog bit David, and the county had to pay David because his own dog bit him. So it's a no-win situation at the end of the day, and I disagree with it 100%, but if we can settle it, we need to settle it.
And, gentlemen, just on a positive note.
There is a positive note on that?
Well, not on this one. There's not on that, but on a bigger, bigger scope. There was a law that was signed by Governor DeSantis. It's a tort reform bill, and I did have a name here on it this year. It went in effect immediately. I am not an expert on it, but my understanding is that is going to help with some of these lawsuits, because if you're, I think it's 50% or more, again, don't quote me, but there is a law that Governor DeSantis has signed that is supposed to help with this, because as it stands now, there's a comparative negligence part of that law that if I'm 90% at fault, but you're 10% at fault, I can recover up to 10%. Okay. The way I understand this new law is that if I'm 50% at fault, then I'm just out of gas. You know, that's my layman's terms of how to explain that to y'all. There's a lot more to it, and I'm sure I don't even know all the ins and outs, being that's not personal injury is not something I actually do. But hopefully that is some light at the end of our tunnel. It's very dim, so, you know, just FYI. But I will let them know that we do wish to try to reach some type of resolution, and I will keep you gentlemen posted, as always, as to where we're at on that situation. We should know something fairly quickly because we are headed to mediation.
Hello, Mr. Brown.
I just wanted to make a comment on one of my requests earlier when I told you that our staff members had a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
The driver of this truck in her apartment rolled out of that truck that night to save that person's life. And then they had to decide whether or not they had to get a personal attorney to keep them out of prison. That's the stress these guys and gals go through, ladies and gentlemen. Go remember that.
Yeah. Absolutely, stress. Darren. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it was thanks to the actions of these individuals that this gentleman is still alive. And I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that that is the case. They did perform heroically. I mean, they managed to keep, they had a patient in the back. They had a drive or a EMS person in the back also, and none of our staff was hurt, and neither was the patient. So, you know, on the bright side of that, we do have some excellent staff, and I commend them for what they do on that, because But for all of that, we could be facing a lot more liability. So I'm very thankful that we do have such good staff. And that road, as y'all know, is not a road you want to pull a top-heavy vehicle off on the side, especially at any rate of speed.
Exactly.
So it was some excellent driving and maneuverability on the part. And unfortunately, it was almost not an issue, but for the situation as it was. So that's all I have, gentlemen.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. James. Ms. Bobby?
I do not have anything tonight. No?
Yeah, no. Okay. Thank you. All right. Commissioners. Wood?
Come out and support the Bears tomorrow night. Bruce Foyette Stadium, spring game.
Good deal.
I don't know if it's at 7 or 7:30, but everybody come out.
Good deal. Mr. Hatch?
Come out and support the Bears tomorrow night. 7 o'clock. I'll be cooking hamburgers and hot dogs.
There you go.
Darren, I won't make your thing. All I got.
Mr. Judge, please work on that as fast and hard as you can so we can get this region done. They need it. It's changing mine. And that's it.
Had a good meeting so far. Got two more things to go through. One of them listening to y'all, so good looking crowd, a lot of smiling faces.
Just ask them what they want.
And go Bears. So I had two here that would like to speak, but I don't know if they'd like to now. They may have done have their questions answered earlier. Y'all have y'all answered? Or do you still?
Well,
come on. Come on.
And yes, sir, James Goble. Yes, sir, Mr. Ganey answered that question about getting the scope of work done and getting it out to advertisement. And after that, we can I'll follow from the last meeting minutes, notes, and how the timelines will fall in place. But as Mr. Osteen just stated, it is urgent for us. I just want to, as a citizen's reminder to you guys down in Horseshoe, put some numbers together. I am a landlord, so I do rent things down there. We're about 40% behind this time and our normal. And any of y'all Facebookers surf around out there, you know the shrimp boat's fixing to hopefully sail. If not, it's going to close down midsummer. That's going to be devastating to our little community. And whatever we can do to, again, I know the park's on y'all's agenda, but that park is keeping fishermen out. I know the boat ramps are open. There's some new developments going down there, some more RV pads and stuff to bring them in. But anything you can do to help speed that along, we're in dire need of that. The bait sales down there, he tells me he's around 30-35% behind. We lost several businesses, a good handful of businesses during the storm. We're still rebuilding, and we just, anything you can do to help us move along, Horseshoe Beach surely appreciates it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will reach out to a man that I know that buys businesses and see if he's interested in it.
It's a good operating business. I can't see why somebody wouldn't just jump on that and take over a turnkey business for not a whole lot of money. The prices is out there. All somebody's got to do is go make contact.
Well, and also, you got the ordinance passed down there where they can sell liquor, too.
That's
right.
That's right.
So not only is it a restaurant, it's a restaurant that can serve liquor.
Yep. That's right. As long as they serve them food down there.
Just want to make sure, you know, because it ain't just a restaurant, you know. We had to go through a lot, you know, to get that.
How are y'all? My name is Saffron Dodd. I live out in Horseshoe, and I know we talked about dredging and that funding that's been appropriated for it. And I have some concerns about ownership of those canals. So from you know, my perspective as the property owner, I own the canal into the middle of the canal. However, I've seen that it's been documented that the county owns it also.
No. The county does not own that, and I can speak to the legal side of that. Those lots are owned by the count, or by the citizens. Each one of you that owns a lot owns to the center of that canal. Anytime we do any dredging or anything else, that has been a hiccup. The county has maintained them. That's the reason we can go in and maintain them. That's the only reason we're able to proceed as we're going, or one of the only reasons. But those lots are legally owned by the property owner.
Okay. All right. So I guess then my concern is, as we move forward, you know, like you said, there were some hiccups the last time a dredging was attempted in, like, 2017 or 2018.
16. Yeah, 16.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think that was dredging. I think that
it was clean out. It was clean out. So close. And then 93 was the one before that.
Yes, sir. So I guess my concern is, you know, the last time it was attempted to get everybody to do quit claim deeds and hold harmless agreements, and it kind of fell through. So as this project moves forward, you know, I would really like to hear how you're going to address those issues, I guess, is my concern. And then, you know, my concern is, can you spend that grant money on private property if it's considered private property?
Can I answer this?
Yes.
I'd love to answer
this. Yes, sir.
Y'all, as citizens, own up to the center of the canal. And if you were to read the paper that was signed by Duane Cannon on September 15th,
yes, sir.
And it was right after the hurricane, like 5 days after.
Mm-hmm.
And we're required, Darren, correct me if I'm wrong, we are required as a county to do damage assessment.
Mm-hmm.
We included that in there. And then y'all, as y'all's board down yonder, went to Tallahassee to retain some money for that. They went up there and they said, went with Jason. I talked to Jason on this. I talked to Corey on this. They went up there and said, well, what's it going to cost? The people that was picking up the stuff out of the off the road, they said, well, about $3 million. And then, so they went up there and they said, around $3 to $5 million. And so they went with the highest number to cover it. And so the $5 million was set aside for that, not to exceed. But then whenever the horseshoe board tried to do that, they could not show ownership, which we couldn't either, but we could show maintenance. So Jeff called Paul, what, about 6:30 one night?
6:30
brought all that stuff to us, or to county manager's office, gave us his map, everything that they wanted done.
Mm-hmm.
So then we filled the application. At first they asked, could y'all help? Sure, we can help. We're going to do our level best to help horseshoe.
Right.
So that's how that all come about. The mayor come to us, Jeff, and we said, sure, we'll do everything we can. We took his map. We still got the map. I looked at it the other day. That's how that come about with that. And so we had to put a cost estimate with it. Locklear Associates done our cost estimate. It's around $2 million. So everybody should have been smiling because it wasn't $7 million. So at the end of the day, what Horseshoe did when they went up there, they did secure the funding for the dredging. And so that they need to pat themselves on the back for doing that. At least they had the project covered. But their number was a little bit higher than what the actual cost to do the job. Jason and Corey said, yes, if this is the cost, that's what we're going to do. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing nothing above or below that. We can only maintain the ditch and I think, or the canals. And I think we're probably going to wind up, what, 2 foot out of it, something like that, some number. So don't destroy the private property seawall, because that's a big cost. Because I remember when Talmadge was the mayor? He was going to go around and get everybody to quit claiming. I told Talmadge, if I owned a lot down there, I wouldn't sign it.
Right.
Because they wanted to hold harmless on their seawall, and seawall is very expensive to fix. So I knew that wasn't going to fly, but he still beat the roads out. He talked to the people. He did get some to sign. I commend him for that. But at the end of the day, the citizens own the canals. The only way that they're getting done, Horseshoe cannot do them because they have no previous maintenance to it.
Right.
So they come to the Board of County Commissioners. We said, sure, we want to help you and we'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly how that's happened. So, but now in 2016, when Hermine come through, we had to go back to the storm of the century. That was 93 to show maintenance. So that's actually now we got 93, 2016, 2017 where we've done the work. Now we're going to show more maintenance on 24 whenever all this gets bidded out and it gets done. So Florida County Commissioners don't own them, Horseshoe don't own them, property owners own them, so we can maintain that. That's the only way we can do it.
So the second part of that was, how are you going to work using federal money? On
it's completely legal. If it's not legal, we'll all go to prison. At the end of the day, we're going to carry Corey Simon and Jeff Schultz with us.
Okay, no. So nobody anticipates any issues with that?
No.
It's been done. It's common practice to clean out. Maintenance. You can maintain that. It's navigable water. It's just like a road. You can maintain a road. It's navigable. It's safe. Ingress and egress.
Yes, sir.
It all goes back to safety. You can do it. But if you've never had that proof that you've done it, you cannot.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, that's part of the reason why it takes a process to get to that point, because that's why the RFQ,
you gotta show
everybody, and all that covers all the maintenance, all the permitting, you know, all the proper documentation. All of that stuff is covered through the scope of work in the RFP. So that takes time. It's not just something you, here's the money, so y'all go out and start doing it tomorrow.
Right. I don't expect anything to happen tomorrow.
And they won't be able to
do everything proper and legal to protect not only, you know, the county, the landowners, the contractor, all this.
No.
Yep.
And they won't be able to touch anything that's not within that scope. You know, if you've got a piece of debris on your property, that's your problem.
That's yours.
Okay.
That's what I do not want to take away from what Horseshoe done. They did see a problem. They attacked the problem. They went to Tallahassee. I commend them for doing that tremendously.
They did a good job.
They've done a great job on that. But at the end of the day, it's hard to say if they got too much money. But
yeah,
they covered the project. That's the main thing.
Thank you very much.
But now you can explain, maybe make them understand that it's this reason why it's taking a little bit longer, because of the paperwork that's showing that we have done that in the past.
In the prison.
We want it done as soon as possible. The people down there need it.
And Mr. Hatch, that was explained very, very well.
Good job.
Yes, thank you.
Remember that.
I think he's been chewed on some.
Yeah.
Anybody else like to say anything? Are you sure? I'm going once. I need a motion to adjourn. Got a motion, Mr. Osteen? A second, Mr. Wood.